This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. This is actually going to be a little shorter of a broadcast because the great ice storm of 2017 is coming. Now, next week, I might proclaim that I was absolutely wrong. But I've been talking to people, and I just did my grocery shopping this afternoon. Left work a little early because I was in a little longer this week, and so I had some extra time. So left work a little early. And like one of the checkout ladies did the grocery shopping for my parents. One of the checkout ladies said, yeah, they're saying it's supposed to be as bad as it was in 2007. What? Because in 2007, we had 3 days of freezing rain. It laid down an inch and a quarter of ice. An inch and a quarter of ice on everything. It toppled trees. It pulled down power lines. I mean, it was... We sat on our back porch and we listened to the tops of the trees exploding in our little forest behind our house. We sat there and just listened to it. Because it was just taking the tops off trees because it was so heavy. Okay, that was 2007. Inch and a quarter of ice everywhere. That was bad. There were people who were out of power for 3 weeks. Okay, 3 days. And then the temperature stayed cool afterwards. So, you know, it was around and around. Okay. Well, that's bad. The question is, are we facing that again? Well, first of all, tomorrow it's supposed to be 40. Saturday, it's supposed to be 50. Sunday, it's supposed to be 60. Now, that doesn't do you any good if you're out of power. I understand that. But at this point, I just read the forecast again, and they're very careful in how they word it. They said everything will be highly dependent on where the surface freezing line forms up this evening, but at present the expectations are that it's going to be somewhere at the Arkansas border. Okay, that's fine. Alrighty. Then you read a little farther. That means along the Highway 60 corridor, accumulations will be approximately 1/10 of an inch. Okay, now that does make things slick. 1/10 of an inch. But it doesn't pull down power lines. To potentially 1/4 of an inch. Okay, well, you know, that's a little worse. But I don't think it pulls down power lines yet. Then up around where we live, it's supposed to be about 1/4 of an inch to potentially 1/2 inch. Okay, you're starting to get pretty close now to something that's serious. Above us in central Missouri, yeah, it's supposed to exceed 1/2 an inch. Yeah, so I can see there's some stuff there. Sure. But it's not 1 1/4 inches. It's nowhere near what 2007 was. Now, I may record the podcast next week and say, boy, was I wrong. But I don't think so. And I just walked out of Walmart, and the greeter was like, are you going to get home before the ice starts? Well, the ice isn't even supposed to start till 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I just looked at her and I said, I think so. We call this escalation. Anyways, everything's puttering along. I officially started my second sprint on Sunday. I had some distractions on Sunday, so I was only able to put down 2,000 words. But at this point, I think I'm about 750 words down. But that's doable. I can get caught up tomorrow. So the plan tomorrow is to have breakfast with a friend. And maybe to have it early enough that we can sneak back home before the ice really starts to hit. And then I'm coming back home and I'm writing like crazy. And I think I can get to my 10,000 words. Because if I lay in and do a good solid day, I can do 3,000 words in a day. And I'm in a good writing spot in the book. You know, I'm not having to make up a bunch of stuff. It's pretty much writing itself. I have to figure out what the set of each section is and what the mood of each section is and what are the things I want to bring out in those sections. But we're at that resolution of crisis stage in the book where you're coming up with solutions now. So I think that'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be great. Today, you may not want to listen to the rest of this broadcast because today we are going to be earthy. And what started me thinking about this was some of my beta readers went ahead and did some reviews on Amazon for my last book, which I always appreciate. And I tell them you can say anything you want. You can rate it any way you want. So one of my beta readers, this was his first book he had read of mine. And, you know, he said some nice things, so that's fine. But then he said, you know, I was surprised at the amount of sex there is in this book. And I thought, sex? Sex? Nobody's having intercourse in this book. But that's his term for earthy. I'm of the opinion, if we don't talk about stuff, we're never going to be able to push against the public pedagogy that is pushed towards us by marketers and industries that only want our money. Because there is certainly a pedagogy about human relationships that is defined very specifically to make us unhappy, to make us feel weak, to make us feel insufficient, to make us lust, to make us fear. And that pedagogy, I am not willing just to sit back and have people absorb that pedagogy without me raising my hand to talk about it. There's been a couple of different times when I've been chatting with friends and we've gotten onto certain topics of marriages and relationships and male anatomy and female approaches to life and all that kind of stuff. The people have paused and they've looked at me and said, so we're basically going to talk about everything. And my response has always been, yes, we are. We're not going to be gross about it. We're not going to be crude about it. We might do it with a little bit of humor. And we might be earthy, but there is a difference between earthiness and appealing to the purient interest. So, fair warning, we're going to be earthy today. And specifically, we are going to talk about breasts. Because I had a conversation with a friend a couple of weeks ago where I shared something with him. And he kind of nodded his head. He got what I was saying immediately. And then there's been some other things that have shown up. And like the comment of one of my beta readers that there was a lot of sex in my book. And I was thinking, what? Before I get into that, though, I should say that I grew up in the Philippines. And the Filipinos, they are built right down next to the dirt. I mean, they, you know, bodily functions and natural, they're not bothered by that at all. You know, I've said this before, if a guy needs to go to the bathroom, he's outside, he just unzips his pants and goes to the bathroom. No one considers that sexual harassment, he's just going to the bathroom. Women breastfeed in public. It's no big deal, at least when I was there. I don't know if our Western culture has now sexualized women's bodies to the point that, you know, they don't feel like breastfeed in public anymore. But when I was there, breastfeeding in public was no big deal. So, there was a YouTube video that I came across several months ago that I thought really was fascinating. They did this experiment where they took one gal and they dressed her up in a low-cut top, you know, showing plenty of cleavage, all that kind of stuff. And she's, like, sitting on a park bench, and the guys that are walking by are complimenting her, you know, like, oh, well, you look beautiful, and all right, you know, okay, so. They bring out a mom, and they have her breastfeed her child, and some of the guys are actually having a visceral reaction to it and calling the women out. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that in public. You shouldn't. And they were talking to him later. Well, so why is it all right for this woman to be showing you most of her breasts, but if this woman is feeding her child, which is really what breasts are for, why is that wrong? Well, I just, you know, I just, okay. Well, first of all, when you see those type of visceral reactions where there is an element of attack in that reaction, that's flesh. Period. It's flesh. You can see the way it riles up, the way it boils. It's flesh. And one of the first questions you always want to ask yourself when you're having a flesh fit is, what lie is the flesh telling me? What lie is the flesh telling me? Because if you can get in and under and figure out what that lie is, and you can, that car looked just like my wife's van, and so I was slowing down to make sure she didn't need me for something. Anyways, if you can figure out what lie the flesh is trying to tell you and you can get some light on it, those things typically will evaporate. And your emotions, when you get some light on it, it's an amazing thing to feel. You can get riled up and you can stop and go, wait a minute. And it's really amazing. There was another video I had watched where this woman was talking about, okay, so why are guys enamored with breasts? I think that's a perfectly legitimate question. Why is that? What is the answer to that? Because being enamored with breasts is what leads to these visceral reactions. And in fact, we can deduce from seeing these visceral reactions that, in fact, it's not necessarily just the breast, but it is the breast presented in a certain way. The breast presented in a way that a man can conclude certain things about the woman. Because this woman on the YouTube video was saying, you know, honestly, breasts are nothing more than bags of fat. So why are guys so enamored with breasts? That's a perfectly legitimate question. But calling them bags of fat, I think, misses the point. And it's a little derogatory, too. The breasts are amazing machines. And they manufacture an elixir of life. For a long time, scientists did not understand why breast milk was so high in a certain type of sugar. Because when the baby is consuming it, the baby can't actually digest that type of sugar.
So they were all saying, well, this must be a mistake because, you know, this doesn't make any sense at all. The baby can't use this kind of sugar. It's got to be a mistake.
Well, only later, now that we understand. I hope I get this right. Now that we understand more about our lives as colonies of bacteria, now that we understand that we carry around these mass quantities of bacteria, and we have this symbiotic relationship with this bacteria, and it in fact does help us digest our food. Now that we understand that, lo and behold, if there isn't a good reason for babies to consume that particular type of sugar. And the reason is because the bacteria that are good for your gut, that create a stable, balanced digestive system, those bacteria really like that kind of sugar. And so breast milk, part of its component is to encourage the growth of beneficial bacteria so that the baby's digestive system will work well. That's amazing. Calling them bags of fat misses the point. Anyways, I'm getting my mail. Let's see what's here. Oh, yay! My new decal for my phone. I think that's it. Okay. So anyways. Now then, there is a little side issue here that I will just pass along, because I have no doubt that as these guys were walking along and then they see this mother breastfeeding, they're having some kind of a visceral reaction. Whether or not they understand that visceral reaction, they are more than capable of recognizing that that visceral reaction is coming from the flesh, and based on that, they should take a pause, slow down, not say anything for a few moments, and then either not say anything at all or speak with kindness and love. I'm backing into my garage. But of course, these guys don't do that. They just think that they're the center of the universe, and if something offends them, then, you know, it must be fundamentally and absolutely wrong, so they are going to go and write it, which is ridiculous. So, okay, so then, anyways, what brought me to this subject was seeing an interview, and apparently this actually happened last year sometime, and I may have seen it, but I missed it. Somewhere along the line, I missed it. Alyssa Milano and Wendy Williams were having a conversation on Wendy Williams' talk show, and the subject came up. Wendy actually brought it up. Wendy is 51 years old. She actually brought it up that Alyssa Milano has posted a lot of pictures of her breastfeeding her children. Her daughter Isabella is 16 months at the time of this interview. Her son's 4. So she pictures, and some of them, she said, do show a lot of breast. And she was really surprised by the reaction. She was surprised by how visceral the reaction was people were having to these pictures. And she said she was shocked that there are people who are so opinionated about something that is so natural. This is really what breasts are for. They're to feed babies. Even more surprising was that Wendy, her reaction, she is having just as visceral a reaction to Alyssa Milano showing her breast. Well, not really showing her breast. She always has a little kiddo attached, so you're going to see a little mound there, but that's it. She said, well, I just don't need to see that. She said, because I just don't want to. And so Melissa Milano said, well, so would you eat under a blanket or would you? Well, I would go to the car, she said, not sit on the bench in front of a big box store. And then Alyssa Milotto brought up a good point. She says, why is it okay to show that picture of Miley Cyrus with the two suspenders over her breast? So basically all she's doing is covering up her nipple area. And as she says that, they flash the picture up on the screen. And Alyssa Milotto said, and now we're going back to it. She said, why is it okay to show that, but I can't show a picture of me breastfeeding my daughter? What is the big deal? And she asked Alyssa why some depictions of breasts in a sexualized context are A-okay to show in public, but not an image of a woman utilizing her breasts for a purpose in a non-sexual way. And, you know, Wendy said, well, you know, but breastfeeding is only for a particular moment of time, and for your life, your breasts are sexual things. Oh, well, okay, see, this is the public pedagogy. This is what we have taught, that a woman's breasts are sexual things. And I think that teaching is bound up in the fact that men do have a foundational level attraction to breasts. And because of that, the marketers are constantly trying to figure out how to dress them up, how to smash them together, how to pull them apart, how to make them look more quote-unquote attractive, yada, 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 yada. And this overusage of that, paired with the fact that normally those breasts that are being smashed together and pulled apart and pushed up and done all sorts of things to make them, quote unquote, more attractive, are also attached to what we have established at this point in time, the ideal amount of beauty. So, and we have, you know, breast enhancement and all this kind of thing. And so, again, there is this public pedagogy that is pushing forth this image of beauty and in the process is decorating the breasts and making them more appealing to guys and blah, 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 blah. And so it's pushing it, and therefore the breast becomes sexualized. And therefore we get into this really upside-down situation where when we actually see someone who is using breasts for what they were intended to be in the first place, then we go, oh, we can't say this. We were out east somewhere, and we actually got together with some friends. She breastfeeds her children. And, you know, we had gone to the zoo and stuff, and her child was hungry, and she was sitting on a bench, and you know, I happened to turn around and she was feeding her child, you know, and I looked her in the eye and smiled. And then we just went on our way. Done, done, and done. She's feeding her child. What's interesting, though, is that Wendy and Alyssa also, Milano, they also got talking about, what was it, 50 Cent's wife? Some wife who is older, who wears all these these dresses that have all these holes cut out of them. And Wendy actually said she would rather see a woman dressed sexually with holes cut out of her dress than see her breastfeeding. Which is crazy. That's just crazy. Now then, though, this does bring us back to a sort of fundamental question, though. Because in all of this attraction, we've talked in the past about that, in all of this male-female attraction in how we conceptualize about marriage and dating and all those kind of things, it's actually happening on multiple layers. So you have the base instinctual layer that is necessary for the survival of the species. If boys and girls were not attracted to each other, the species would die out, which is what is happening in Japan. So there's that natural attraction where you get boys together for long enough, things just happen. Then there are things that happen when you get drugged up and you lose some of your inhibitions, you know. So women get drunk and men get drunk and bad things happen. But then there is this huge layer on top of all that of this expectation of what life is and how I should be reacting and what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. And I think that we have layered on top of all that, all of these images of practiced looks, of the right lighting, of the right set of the eyes, of the mouth that's always open, to use a quaint term for it, where all the models have a come hither look. And really, the message that we are projecting with many, many of the images that we have of women is, I was listening to another TED Talk, and she flashed up an image of a model, and she said, now, what do you think this model is thinking? What thoughts is this picture trying to show? Do you think she's thinking, you know, after this model shoot, I need to go and have dinner with my mom, and, you know, I'd really like to do this, this. She said, of course not. What they're trying to do is make you believe she is just hoping and wishing that as a guy, you would have sex with her. Because they all have the come hither look. That's not what the woman called it on the thing, but I'm not going to use the words that she words because it was very explicit. And that's true. And breasts have that connotation in our society because we have layered all of that marketing on top of it because we're trying to sell stuff. But if you peel that all back and get rid of all that, then really, what is the attraction of men to breast? And in a larger context, what is the attraction of men to women's bodies? And I can't say this is absolutely true, but I will leave you with a quote that came out of my fingers when I was writing Windfall, The Straight Gate, which is book 3 in the Windfall series. It would take a long time to set this up, but suffice it to say that there is a character in the book named Falcon who is willing to use all of her womanly assets to accomplish and get whatever she wants. She has found some vials that she doesn't know what are in them. They have barcodes on them. So she has decided that the fastest way to find out what is in these things is to take racy photos of herself with these vials perched between her breasts, and to ask the question, prove that you know what these are. Well, she was expecting the reaction she was going to get, but by the same token, she was hoping that someone would come through. Someone eventually does come through. All right, so I'm writing about her reaction to all of the comments that she is giving. The first paragraph is intended to be a little funny, and I apologize right now to my women listeners in my audience because the first paragraph will probably not seem funny to you, and I apologize for that. But to guys, you know, this can be funny. So anyways, I'm talking about Falcon reacting to the messages she had gotten and the people who had written them. And the paragraph starts, all of them, all of the men who had written her, had concentrated on the phrase, prove that you know what they are, and each had answered with a variety of slang labels for breasts, because she had presented her breast with, okay, you got it. From the overused boobies, hooters, and jugs to the more industrial headlamps, airbags, and bazookas
to the relatively obscure devil's dumplings, yin-yangs, and chesticles. Okay, then this paragraph came out of my fingers. And I didn't know completely I was writing this paragraph when I did, and it just came out of my fingers. All of them had responded in the same juvenile way, proving to Falcon once more that there really wasn't any such thing as a mature man. Deep down, they were all little boys, giggling and elbowing each other over their infantile infatuation with the birth canals that had given them life and the mammary glands that fed them in their simplest days. I think, it is my opinion that part of the attraction that men have for the female body is an attraction that they are looking for mommy. They are looking for that person who's going to take care of them, who is going to know all of their needs instinctively, who is going to follow them around and clean up after them, who is going to be their little caretaker, and she will never, ever be dedicated to anyone else. And if you take that as a stance, that men really aren't necessarily looking to be superheroes, as we've talked about yet, but the superhero, the one, the most interesting man in the world before whom all women will bow and men will tremble. You know, if that's what grinds in the deepest part of a man's soul and in his flesh, then the breasts represent a provision that he is seeking to attain again. You know, a woman's body is a vehicle for him not only of pleasure, but of comfort and convenience. And he's looking for someone to take care of him like mommy took care of him when he was a little boy. And the reason that men have visceral reactions to seeing women breastfeeding is that that woman then is providing and taking care of someone else, and it makes them jealous. Like I said, I think that's what I think at this point. But I got a lot of years ahead of me, and I have found that new ideas are occurring to me at all time. But for now, there's that one, and you can think about it. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.